Welcome to Worker Movement, a podcast dedicated to the working class, a podcast dedicated to raising class consciousness. This podcast is for you, for us, for the worker.
The GameStop pattern happens over and over and over. The system is set up as a class lottery, and the GameStop fiasco is a recent example. The petite bourgeois and the project management class, or the PMC, exist as a buffer between the ruling class and the working class. They exist to benefit capital. Periodically, they're used as pawns when the ruling class has an internal struggle. When this happens, the PMC can be rewarded for picking the winning side. The PMC are incentivized to participate in these lotteries by the ruling class because they're conditioned to believe that the most desirable thing in all of life is to become one with their masters. There is no such lottery for the working class. The ruling class exploits the PMC and the petite bourgeois class to perpetuate class conflict. And these periodic lotteries provide just enough of a carrot to perpetuate the cycle. The ruling class, like a casino, always wins the lottery. In recent GameStop action, the casino had to use a heavy hand to ensure success, and a chorus of, "That's not fair," was chanted by the losers in unison.
So the GameStop fight is a very interesting point in our time, because we have individuals on Wall Street Bets,
which are almost entirely members of the PMC,
and individuals in Congress who hate each other, but are aligned on this idea that capital is terrible. But it's framed in a way that it's just not fair. When individuals on, you know, the streets or the working class want to pool their money together to buy stuff, it's just not fair that they get screwed over by Robin Hood and all these nonsense. They say things like that Wall Street's going to get bailed out again before their stimulus. They're saying nonsense like, you know, the working class people are trying to stand together in solidarity against capital. And you get people like AOC, who's aligning herself now with Ted Cruz.
Well, I don't know that she's aligning with Ted Cruz, but they both are expressing the same opinion. What you're talking about is there's a number of different people on both the far left and the far right and horseshoe theory and people in the middle and whatever that were expressing the same viewpoint. The individual got screwed over by corporations. AOC was expressing this. Ted Cruz, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie, Ben Shapiro, just a bunch of people, half of which are ghouls and the other half are ineffective.
Or also right? Ghouls.
They're all on the same page, though. And they have alignment on this. And it's like, well, why is there alignment on this?
We talked about this before, about how we know in society there's something wrong with that gut feel that capitalism is bad, that it's tilted against you, that the working class gets fucked over and over again. And we know that the only way to be a capitalist is to stay or already be within the capitalist class. And every individual wants to move themselves up. And depending on where you're at already in the totem pole means you have different aspirations. And the PMC is willing to bet their entire livelihood on trying to become a capitalist. They want to be the next Warren Buffett, the next Bezos, the next Musk. They want to be these next billionaires who were already rich to start with. They didn't come from nowhere.
Bill Gates had a garage and rich parents. And Jeff Bezos had a garage and rich parents. And Steve Jobs had a garage and rich parents.
And that's why when we see people celebrating the fact that they took out a loan against their 401k, or they mortgage their house, or they try to get a HELOC or something out of it, or they took out credit card debt to buy these stocks, that it's really hurting the working class, because what we've done again is we have propped up capitalism. And the tool this time is that if we just fight capital versus capital with capital, you can win too. But all that's really doing is taking a risk in which somebody who has worked, I don't know how long, a couple of years, their whole life to build up equity, to build up underneath capitalism some semblance of the American dream, is now willing to risk it because they are so thirsty to get outside of that working class. And that, again, is keeping up with the Joneses mentality. That's your neighbor has more than you. You know, and it's basically, it's a class struggle within your own class. How do I get more money than my neighbor and make it up to the person I envy? And who you envy is relative to your class and people you know. You may envy the person with the boat because you don't have one. You may envy the person with a 4,000 square foot house because yours is only 3,000 square foot. You may envy the person that has a shitty Tesla because you don't have one. So depending on who you're going after means that your inner class struggle is relative to what's around you, your material conditions. And it's that interplay of your material conditions that will drive you to take these risks that are not actually beneficial, that won't see the results. It'd be like you mortgaging your house and putting it on the Powerball. The chances of you winning on the Powerball are not that great. And we know in our guts that that's a dumbass thing to do. Now, is it stupid to have a dollar in your pocket and go and get a random dollar Powerball? Because maybe you can convert $1 into $93 million. I mean, that's okay. That's fine. But you're not going to want to put $10,000 a week into Powerball because there's no actual idea it's going to pay out. And that's what Wall Street Bets is. And that's what the GME stock is, or the GameStop stock.
Well, I mean, one of the central premises behind Wall Street Bets is to take high risk, high reward positions. And you have disposable income. And let's say you have $1,000 and you could turn that into $100,000. People have enough disposable income that they're willing to throw $1,000 away. They saw that somebody else was successful. So you throw darts at the board. Sometimes some people win, you get your sweet, sweet confirmation bias, but you likely lose your $1,000. If you're in the working class, you don't have $1,000 to expend. You're not participating in this. Having the project management class collectively act to oppose capital doesn't really help the working class either. It's collective action, which is super good, but we'd all be in a better position if people collectively acted together to all help themselves collectively in a very straightforward fashion through something like, let's increase pay for teachers in schools. That's a collective action that will benefit everybody. But instead, it's, I'm going to buy stock in this failing company, and at some point in the future, capital is going to take all my money away and nobody will have benefited. For some reason, the PMC thinks that that collective action is good, but collective action to actually help people is bad in some way, shape, or form. And part of it is choosing the venue of, we're going to fight on capital's turf rather than fighting on our own turf, our own local community, to improve our stake in life.
Yeah, what is the pathway for you to fight capital if you have $20 in equity somewhere? Previous episode, we said there's trillions of dollars in trading a day, right? There's banks that have trillions of dollars just in housing buy-ins themselves. There are people who have, you know, billions of $100 billion worth of money that you have to go up against. Now, a couple of things about the stock market that are true. It's all speculative. Like, there is no real value there because it's just you're buying, I guess, a share of the company and you're hoping for some sort of return. But at the end of the day, your $20 does not have enough to move anything. But your $20, you know, helping to buy kids Christmas gifts during the Salvation Army's toy drive.
But never donate to the Salvation Army.
But what I'm getting at is your $20 locally has a bigger impact on someone's life than trying to buy stocks of something nationally. And again, don't ever give the Salvation Army. Don't ever give anything in religious organizations. Don't give to Goodwill. Don't give to any of the large corporations that, you know, basically use your money to go on retreats. Don't go to the Wounded Warriors. Don't do anything pink. You should donate to maybe the Breast Cancer Research Fund, but not anywhere else. Don't do just Feeding America. You're better off giving $20 to a soup kitchen than to somebody that hires a celebrity as a spokesperson.
Or sends you socks in the mail.
Anytime you basically buying a gift, you've not really donated money.
You've perpetuated the grift.
You've perpetuated the grift of volunteerism, of donationism. That's a real word. I just made it up. Doesn't matter.
The idea that you can help the working class by donating to ruling class institutions is completely misguided. But it's framed to the PMC as this empathetic and altruistic action. It's similar to the lottery concept, but the payout is emotional euphoria. Capital is still the benefactor, but they make it appear as though your actions are meaningful. This siphons resources from the PMC back to the ruling class and prevents resources from flowing to the working class. Capital will always mold the system to their benefit.
And that's why trying to fight capital on terms of capital just doesn't work, because they play by a different set of rules.
So having $20 and investing on the stock market is an absolute drop in the ocean of influence. Capital doesn't care about you. We already knew that. But capital doesn't care about your $20. It has no impact on their day-to-day operations. In the GameStop scenario, the only reason capital is marginally interested is that it inconvenienced them for a week. But at the end of the day, they're going to determine when the music stops, and that's going to negatively affect a lot of people. And that's going to cause harm, and it's not going to make a bunch of people rich overnight. It made some people rich overnight. But it's just statistically not going to be you. So don't Don't expend resources thinking that there's going to be some giant payday and you can figure this out, because you simply don't have enough information. You simply don't have enough money to influence any of this.
Yeah, and the people that pulled this off were already well-funded, and they were already to go, right? They had spent months researching it and convincing others that it was a good idea. It wasn't like they woke up one day and they said, I got $20, let's make $1 billion. Blip in the Matrix, where Citadel was too far in position one way because one of their analysts probably didn't give a shit that day, and they just kept shorting and making good money on it and making great returns, so their end-of-year review was perfect. Wow, you made us 120% of target value. Here's your 20% bonus for the year. You've made us $80 million, and so here's a $100,000 bonus. And that's literally what happens. They basically sell you out, sell out your retirement, sell out everything you have, because it's all speculative, to make money for themselves. And that's why fighting capital just won't work. We keep saying that same thing. You cannot fight capital with capital, because you cannot win that way. You don't make the rules, so you have to think in larger terms. Like, pulling out all of your investments from your 401k isn't going to make capital mad at you. Your $85,000, if you're at that level, you know, if you work in 25 years, it isn't going to hurt them. Not paying your mortgage isn't going to hurt them. Collectively, if we all stop paying our mortgage, sure, I guess. But there will be a reaction from probably the government. The real goal is to get into the regulatory systems, to get into the lawmaking, because as much as we hate the idea of electoralism, that's what sets the rules. So if you want to make a big enough splash for your $20, file to run for office. It's about $20 depending where you live.
Another thing to consider is that the entire situation could be artificially created by capital to create chaos and profit from that chaos. That's a thing that happens. It could be orchestrated. The Citadel could have said, we're going to take a bath on this momentarily, but we're positioned so that we make a bunch more money if we're actually successful. That one analyst is a genius. He takes a certain position, he triggers some mechanical result, and they make a shit ton of money. Great. Wonderful outcome. For them, not for anybody else, but that's how the markets work, so who cares? The other thing is, when you look at it from a regulatory perspective, if we were to change the rules and perhaps decrease the amount of speculation, or in some way, shape, or form try and make the stock market more fair, or some bullshit objective that just doesn't matter, the regulatory result of this is, how about we just don't have stock trading? But that's unrealistic, and so taking steps to try and improve the situation, prevent harm of the working class in the future, seems like a reasonable step with a milquetoast, shitty neoliberal Democratic Party. So when you think about regulatory effects of this GameStop thing, it's completely inconsequential in comparison to, let's say, the financial crisis of 2007, 2008, 2009, where you literally had banks just conjuring credit default swaps on houses that were incorrectly lended, and like there was wide-scale fraud, and it was all just a Ponzi scheme. In this scenario, there wasn't fraud that we know about. It was just a mechanical financial system response to stresses. And it played out. Some weird shit happened for a couple days. A bunch of people made money. Some people probably lost money.
A lot of people lost money. Yes.
Lost money. It continues to lose money. So imposing regulatory regimes that prevent the GameStop thing is a much more different beast than saying, well, maybe banks shouldn't be able to leverage themselves beyond their, you know, solvency limits, where you can just loan to people that have no ability to pay something back, and if they take their house and they sell it in a year, you make money, and it's just all a pyramid scheme, basically. There's no pyramid scheme in this instance. It's just the system working, and the system, I mean, it is broken. Like, we already know that capitalism is dog shit, but in this scenario, nothing happened outside of the bounds of the system that would require the system to change. So from a regulatory perspective, I'm not sure what capital is going to do to prevent this. And it might be that they simply just do nothing.
I think they do nothing. They let the Wall Street bets bankrupt themselves, attempting to find the next big con. It's the con game, right? You took a short position. That's fine. Retail investors got excited. You close your position for a nominal loss. And then you basically let retail take it higher and higher and higher, and you keep shorting it. Eventually, when trading stopped, they made their money back again, probably shorting again. But hedge funds have the ability to, you know, have teams of hundreds of people diverting resources. That's all that happened. It's actually a brilliant play because you took hedge funds' attention away from what they want to do, which is fuck every segment of the market, and you made them weaponize their entire organization to counteract a bunch of weirdos on Wall Street bets.
It's a resource allocation play, effectively.
It's a game theory, right? I mean, they could have just pulled out and said, we're going to eat or we can go to war, and guess what they chose?
They chose to win.
Yep, and they chose to squash. A couple things are going to happen. They're probably going to have software in place in like 28 seconds that's going to try to detect these anomalies. If you are a hedge fund, you already have systems that are doing millisecond by millisecond analytics continuously.
From a financial engineering perspective, this was always understood as something that could happen.
Yeah.
And I find it very hard to believe that these hedge funds were caught off guard, which makes me think to some extent this was planned or coordinated or orchestrated in some way, shape, or form to either die gracefully or intentionally create chaos, because we talked about this on a previous episode, capital likes chaos, and I think in this scenario, this is good chaos for capital.
Absolutely.
But it was bad chaos originally. It had some negative potential. It was causing stress to some individuals in the ruling class, but I think over a couple days, they've mitigated the issues, and I think at this point, it becomes a winning strategy to leave everybody on Wall Street bets holding the bag.
I had a hard time, too, believing this. Now, again, when it comes to analytics at the millisecond level, you have to decide what you want to go after, right? You have to choose which one. But at the second level and the minute level, their analytics can be all over the place on those. I mean, they're actively training and doing inference continuously on the markets. There's no way that they didn't see this. There's a weird volume trade going in our GameStop. I mean, that just says that Citadel wasn't doing their job correctly, because they should have seen the trade volume as a sign that there's an issue coming, and they probably were starting to buy up stock to prevent themselves from being over leveraged on shorts.
I don't really foresee how this wasn't hedged, or they saw it coming. It's just really hard for me to.
If you have a $100 billion hedge fund, I guarantee you're spending $100 million a year on analytics.
Oh, easily.
Right. I mean, you have to be piped in right next door to, you know, you're already paying for it. You already have massive server rooms.
Okay, so let's talk about that. So there are multiple different types of hedge funds. There's high frequency trading, which is yep. You do stuff at the millisecond level. There's arbitrage, which is you try and take advantage of the same asset trading in two different, basically, spaces.
Basically a price differential, right?
I can go to grocery store A and buy bananas for 70 cents, or I can go to grocery store B and buy bananas for 80 cents.
And someone wants to pay 75 cents and you can make money.
Right.
It's cheaper than going to the other store for 80 cents.
There's a 10 cent differential, so you can make money there if you do it in enough quantity. That's arbitrage. And then you talked about there's a longer term time horizon, and this has to do with some statistical it all has to do with statistical modeling. Everybody doing anything with financial stuff, you're hiring PhDs that do math, and you're hiring basically scientists to develop algorithms and do math. And I don't know this. I think in the case of GameStop, I don't think it was high frequency trading.
It was not, nope.
And it wasn't arbitrage. So I think it's a hedge fund that's looking at stuff like market dynamics, momentum. Basically, they've modeled a financial system, and they think there's some area that can be beneficial to their bottom line. So they are attempting to make money in that regard. I find it difficult to believe that with all the modeling that has probably been done, and allegedly the Citadel lost something like $3 billion. If you have $3 billion to lose, you can throw $100 million at some engineering people to do math. Like, it's just happening. I don't know what the quantity is, but people are doing math, they're understanding the modeling, and they're going to know that when this edge condition occurs, because Wall Street Bets is taking collective action, their model is going to go off into some non-steady state, explosive loss, whatever thing. Like, they know that. They know that that is a characteristic of their model. And when that begins to happen, the red flags and the sirens have to be going off.
Yeah, or they're not doing their job well and they just got lucky.
Right, and that's totally an option.
Yeah, they have PhDs doing the analytics. You have PhDs doing the computer actual software engineering portion of it. And you have PhDs doing the data stuff and the pipelining. I mean, there is a lot of energy and money here, because there's lots of energy and money to be made. When they're looking at shortening the cable by 2 inches because that gives them a small little advantage, like, that's real. Like, that's not, like, on TV shit. Like, they really do this all day long, and they pay people a ton of money for it.
There's a risk tolerance that anybody with money has. And if you have $2 million, let's say you have your house, it's paid for, you got a car, your kids are in college, you're making $2 million because you're in the PMC, you're not going to throw it all away on GameStop. Like, you're just not. So this idea of a risk tolerance, it exists in retail investors buying GameStop. It exists in the hedge funds attempting to profit through their core business model. It's literally what the market is built on, is risk. It's all a contract for, if I do this, this is the risk I have incurred. If I don't do this, I have no risk. So if you don't play the game, you don't have risk. But if you play the game, you have risk and reward. Hedge funds understand this. Retail investors, to some extent, understand this. Maybe not at a, I'm investing in GameStop and I'm kind of an idiot for doing that. But you're also not investing your entire net worth in GameStop, regardless of what people on Wall Street Bets want you to think. It's just functionally not happening. And if you have $100K to throw at GameStop, you're doing fine in life. You have other money elsewhere.
Here's how it would work. If I own 4 shares of GameStop at $20, and as soon as it got to $40, am I going to hold or am I going to sell?
You're going to sell.
I'm a working class, hero. I'm going to double my money. I'm not going to hold, hope it hits 400, because one, I'm not plugged into that network. I don't even know what the hell GameStop's doing or Wall Street Bet's doing, because I work all day long. I'm not on Reddit reading all the fucking news all day as I look at screens and monitors while I'm supposed to be doing my job. Because my job requires me to actually work. When I say actually work, I mean like pay attention and labor, not sit around on conference calls and, look at stocks all day long, which is, what half the management class does. Or read Reddit to look at Wall Street Bets. Right, you know what your boss does. He doesn't do shit, or she. So I'm going to sell right away. If I see it gets to 80 because I missed a day or two, right, I'm not paying attention to my stocks, that's how I hold it. I don't hold it because I'm waiting for it to keep going up. I either hold stock because I like the investment. Oh, I want to hold GM. It's an American company, right? You have some sort of emotional play. Or you're holding stock because you just bought shit randomly because you think you had, some plays, and you forgot that you actually owned it. There's a reason why no one knows, most workers don't know what's in their 401k. They're not sitting there tweaking it, because your $8,000 you have in your 401k isn't worth you going in there every day to try to slide your, which fund is handling yours and what's the fees and stuff, because you don't know anything about trading. It's not what you do. And in this case, if you have the ability to play in Wall Street Bets, you are already fine. Like we said before, you're outside of the working class. You are a class trader wholeheartedly, and you've embraced it because you want to make the money and become the capitalist class.
And this idea that anything beneficial will arise from a group of marginally rich people dabbling in the stock market to help trigger the revolution of anything positive happening is kind of a bizarre fantasy land dream that is not borne out in any way, shape, or form by any of capital's previous actions and commitment to continuing to rule and make the rules.
I feel like the people in Wall Street Bets, the ANCAPs, and we talked about this before about the insurrections, that they're attempting to find a way to fight power, but it's so misguided that they actually miss the mark, because they think that, again, power is derived from stocks, when power is derived from pure money and capital. It's like, you storming the Capitol and you have your little handgun on you and you expect you're going to take down the entire system, when really the system was expecting it. They let you come and do some damage and backed off, and now they're going to clean up the mess. Same thing are happening with the ANCAPs here, right? You're so mad at the system, you're going to go be cool and shit, and then at the end of the day, what have you done? Nothing. You've done absolutely nothing. You caused a little bit of chaos, but that chaos wasn't enough to do anything. You know what would be cool? It's if Wall Street Bet created microloans and started converting manufacturing into cooperatives. That's how you could actually do it. But the psychopaths in Wall Street Bets are the PMC. They only really care about capital because they believe that they are capitalists who are going to squash the working class and make a ton of money. I feel like every few years there's like this massive up and down, this influx in which people begin to find themselves radicalized because they have this massive distrust of corporations. And that's actually bred or brought out because of massive mistrust of corporations. You had 2008, now you have this year in which corporations got a tax break, in which their pay doesn't go up and they're making money on COVID. So as people begin to feel the need to fight back, in this case, when they fight capital with capital, they don't realize just how rigged the system is, just how rigged the game is against them, how it's a carnival game that you can never make. You can never throw the ring around the glass bottle. Right? You can never win the goldfish. You're always trying and trying and trying. You never even get there. And luckily, this time around, the working class, the poor, didn't have enough money to participate. It happened too quickly. They didn't get sucked into it. But in the future, these movements may be devastating to the working class as they believe that what they can do with capital will be helpful. So it's really important the next time around that we remind our brothers and sisters that fighting capital with capital is just a bad way to go about change.
For future episodes and to learn more about the worker movement, join us at workermovement.com.